This call is I'm going to pray and then we're going to start. It's been a long time since we sang that song. And I need to find a way to now then. Figured out how to do that. Father, thank you for allowing us the opportunity to go through your word, to read it, and to grow from it. We're living in a world of people that talk about serving God, loving God. God loves them. They're spiritual. And most of the time when I encounter those people, they don't care about your word. They don't care about how your son has revealed himself. But today, Lord, as we go through the fifth chapter and the few verses that we look at, help us to see your son as he reveals himself as a Lord over all. Help us to see him that way. Help us to see that he's right there at the throne room of God, receiving honor, praise, adoration, and in no wise taking praise and honor and adoration from the Father. Help us to learn to mirror him in our limited ways so that we can lift up his name, that we may be able to join into that choir, that cacophonous sound of joy toward the one who loved us and cared for us and sent his son to be our savior and redeemer. We ask you for everything that we need to be bestowed upon us by your son. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the magnificent Christ. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen. Have you already made the recording start to record? Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Our title for today, for those that write it down, is Jesus Reveals Himself as Lord over All. That may not make a whole lot of sense to somebody, because you say, well, there are so many ways you say that Jesus revealed himself. That's right. And I'll never be able to exhaust all of the ways that he has revealed himself as Lord over all. As Lord of whatever it is that he shows himself to be Lord over. But in this particular passage, I will submit to you that if you walk with me in this, if you open it and look at it as it's portrayed, you will see him revealed as Lord over all. And it should bring joy to your heart. Thank you. It should bring joy to your heart if you're living righteously. If you are obstinate and don't care about God's word, it should bring fear to you. And I hope it brings fear to you and make you tremble to your bones. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if you're not afraid of the one that's Lord over all, how dare you get to be afraid when you hear a tornado coming? How dare you to be afraid of the lightning and the thunder? How dare you to be fearful of somebody with a gun in their hand and you're not fearful of the one that's Lord over all? Contrary-wise, how dare you to feel safety when you have a policeman or somebody standing beside you with a gun? Or you have a group of people standing beside you to protect you and not feel comforted, knowing that the one that's Lord over all is watching and cares for you. This thing either can be something that you enjoy or something that can cause you detriment. I want to go straight into the sweet word of God and start tasting this. We talked on Thursday and we showed that God's throne, his throne room, is where everything is done. His throne room would bring you comfort, knowing that from his throne he rules, and that John had the opportunity to see everything from the vantage point of God. No matter what we don't see from the vantage point of God. When I first started learning about a man that's dead by the name of Dr. Greg Bahnsen, probably one of the most brilliant men that I've ever read, and when I do find something I can disagree with him on, it's because usually there's a presupposition there, but it's not much. But he talked about when they make these Persian rugs and how the women go through and they do what they do to make the rugs. Have you heard the story before, Rich? Have you heard it, Gary? That when they are making these rugs, if you look at it from the bottom side, it looks so ugly. All you see is the bottom. When they're doing their weaving and they're woofing, they're warping, all of that, whatever they do to make those rugs, if you only see the bottom side, but it's when it's finished that you see these rugs that people will pay thousands of dollars for. When you see your life and the obstacles, and the time you get weak in the hands, weak in the knees, fearful of what's going on, people mistreating you on your job, death hitting your family, people messing with your money from the outside with an ink pen. You look on your phone bill, there are bills you're paying that you know nothing of that you didn't sign up for. Sometimes people doing things in your credit, and you look at your life and it looks like it's a mess. You look in your family's life, sometimes it is a mess. Sometimes your own life is peaceful, but the people that's in your life bring you drama. People in your family, children, cousins, brothers, maybe your parents, maybe your job, bringing you drama, and your political process, your news, teaching your children how to do homosexuality, to talk back to you, disrespect your father, to lie on people, and to think that it's okay to rewrite history, to make it seem as if your ancestry is not what it is, and that you really are what we say that you are. We're going to reshape you in your mind, and you see all of that mess. When you remember that God is on the throne, making something out of you. Somebody say, Tim, I don't believe you. Well, I care and I don't care. I have an extent that I care. I care so much that you are ignorant and you don't understand the blessed word of God. I don't care because it doesn't change it. The Bible tells me in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, that God places members in the body through the Holy Spirit as he sees fit. I don't know what all you're going to go through, and you don't know what all I'm going to go through, but God knows what he's doing, and he's going to continually do it the way that he wants it to be done, and all of that originates within the throne room. Now, to make sure before I read chapter 5, verse 1, that I don't let you forget what the scripture says. There was a man by the name of Jacob that wanted a blessing. Yes, he did. He wanted it at all costs. Yes, he did. He lied to get it. Yes, he did. Got a chance to lie and mess around and never saw his mother again. Yes, he did, because he lied. But eventually that man named Jacob got to start walking with God. After God allowed things to happen, he lost his home, lost most of his family, and he went down to another place. Now, he didn't lose them like he didn't know where they were, but he had to get away because his brother was going to kill him. You can go back and read Genesis chapter 30 through 40. I want you to read a lot of chapters. Why I say it like that. But here is the thing. When he was getting ready to come back the way he was, he ended up getting crippled. Because he wrestled with the Lord and he went a little too far. Somebody say, I don't know he went too far, but I can tell you this much. Whatever God did, it was for his good. And he crippled the man. Then later on, he had sons, and he favored one more than he did the other ones. You all know the son's name. What was his name? Joseph. And he ends up thinking Joseph is dead. Because the brothers lied. Do you remember what Israel, his name had been changed to Israel. Do you all remember what he said at that time? All these things be against me. He was looking from the earth side. He was looking from the underside. of the rug. He was looking from the earth side, not from the throne of God. But then one day, I'm not going to sing the Beverly Hillbillies song, but then one day God allowed him to look outside, and there was caravans, and there was clothes, and all this stuff was set up for you to come because your son is ruling in Egypt, and you think that he's dead. You think that he has been taken down to Sheol, to the ground, and your heart revived because you know that your son is alive, and you go in and bless the top man in that region. You go bless the Pharaoh, and then you begin to realize that I didn't know what was really going on. John got to see things from the throne room of God. So everything you read in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, chapter 4 says, after this. Well, we've seen some after this from the throne room, but we're not through from the throne room. But now we're in chapter 5, and I will submit to you that Jesus is going to reveal himself as Lord of all. How'd you all like the preamble to warm you up to where we're going? Sometimes restaurants give you appetizers, and the appetizers are so good, you could just eat that. Thank you. You could eat that, and that'd be enough. But I didn't study to just start with the appetizer. So let's roll with chapter 5, verse 1. Dree, you read, precious.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne.
Do me a favor. That's a good place to start, but I really rather start at verse, you know, it's so sweet. Let's start at the four beasts, verse 8 of chapter 4. Then we go to 5. Are you with me? Because by the time we get to chapter 5, verse 1, I want your minds to be ready for what Jesus is going to reveal. I feel good about this. I told you all I just wanted a little cup of coffee that it felt like I had a little fog over me. Normally, I kick it out by just reading, but got a little artificial kick. Go ahead and read, Dre.
And the four beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Tree, I would give you a hand, but we're teaching, and I don't want to stop and throw honor on you no more than what I just said. But here is the thing. Here is the glory and honor that they are given to the Father on the throne. Follow me? And Jesus, we had him, John, to come up here and see things from the throne perspective. Now I want you to see Jesus that has made him to come up hither, show or reveal that he is Lord of all. So when we listen to her read chapter 5, verse 1, our mind should already be right. Whatever glory that those people had, they threw it down. Didn't they throw it down? Whatever honor and glory those that all day night, who were they bestowing it to? They didn't say, we got 6 wings. Woo-wee. We can boom. We got all these eyes. We can see everything. Woo. No, they were giving glory and honor to him to sit on the throne. How much more then? There's some of us who have no wings, that only have 2 eyes that may not work completely well without glasses, and whose mouth doesn't know how to fully give praise. Look at these beings and see where we are coming short and elevate our adoration toward the one that sits on the throne, who does things without our permission. And often when he does it, we don't know what he's doing and we think it's ugly, but it's good. Do you hear them? Dream, I'm going to read the first verse while you do that. And it says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. everything, as we talked about, is magnified, and the view is on the throne. Last night, we were at Gary's house last night. Elijah and I was doing some work, and Josiah wanted to walk closer to the street. You know, because the way their house is made, people, if they keep straight, they'll run right into their yard. But Gary didn't want Josiah to go by himself, so I said, I'll go with him. And that was a beautiful moon. Somebody said, I don't know anything beautiful about it. Well, you make yours, and let me see if I think yours is beautiful. It was a beautiful moon, and Josiah said, I want to see it. So I thought he wanted to go look at it. So we walked and said, I want to get my telescope. I want to get a better view. I want to get a magnified view. I want to look through it and see it in a more close up and see things that I don't see. John has got to see in heaven the telescopic view. And he's giving it to us. And he says, I saw the right hand of him. Now, how John gets the right hand of his, understanding, speaking what we can understand, there's a book written. And obviously the one that's on the throne is in control of what's in the book and how the book is made. And John saw the book or the biblion or the scroll. And he was able to see that it was written within and without. Somebody said, how do you see that? Well, there are telescopes that will do things. As a matter of fact, God has blessed Ann and I to be able to have the ability to go to Fernbank, and I can go and look at some stuff through the scientific things I haven't seen in that view before. John saw the book written within and without. Now, the way books were made, or biblions were written, made at that time with the papyrus, often they would take it, and then when they would skin it, they would skin that plant down. It might be about 10 inches, if that's 10 inches, close to 10, I know what inches are, about 10 inches wide, and it would have little parts of the plant that would go vertically. I guess you would say little strands. Have you ever tried to eat celery before and you see the little strands in the celery? You'd have little strands that would go down and they would do it end to end to end to make it long. Well, then they would take another one and turn it crossways, so you have strands going vertically and horizontally, and it makes it strong. Normally they would write after it dry on the inside. And then that's how they could roll it up and you'd have your biblion or your book. They didn't use what are called codices. Codices where you have paper like what we have, or you just put them in a binder, and now you can flip the pages. So John sees this in some kind of way. He sees it written within and without, and it is sealed with seven seals. And I want you to understand that just by the one sitting on the throne having it, and remember in chapter 1, I believe it is verse 3, he sent and signified it, what he was telling by his angel to his servant John. What would the symbol be if I'm holding your deed to your house in my hand? What would it be if I'm holding something of great importance in my hand? And I'm king on the throne. Would it not show that I have authority over that which I'm holding in my hand? Or if I'm holding a covenant like Moses. Moses got the covenant of God and he's holding it in his hand. And Moses is the vice regent of God in a limited sense. He's not king, but he's in charge. So much so when Miriam and Aaron run their mouth, God helped them to understand, you're not where he is. Understand, I have rank. And rank has its privileges to get closer to me. You're not that close. I would submit to you by this being in the right hand of him on the throne, whatever is going on or whatever that biblion or that book is about is showing you that the one that is on the throne is in control. Does that help? Now, we could go into this a little more and extract juice. But remember, we went through a long time ago before we talked the book of the Revelation the first time. I said, we need to go through the book of Isaiah. We need to go through the book of Genesis. We need to go through Ezekiel. We need to go through these, what we call Old Testament books, so that we can understand what's going on, since Revelation is not just popping up out of the sky. So let's go back to Ezekiel. Let's find us a biblion, a book that's written within and without, so we can at least look and see at one time what it represented, how it looked, and see if there's a great possibility that the book that's being held right now would be in the same way what we're looking at. Dree, if you will, if you go to the 8th verse of Ezekiel chapter 2. And Dree, when you can't get it, and Dree, when you jump in for me. It's verse 1, she said, not 1 and 3. 1 and 1. I don't know how I got that wrong, but I knew it was in the first chapter. Revelation 1, I'm going to read it. It says, that's not, how does thing go to 22? It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, right? And he sent it and gave it to his disciples. Let's see, the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel. You're right. It's the verse 3, it says, blessed are they that read it and hear it. Thank you, Andrina, for that correction. That is so beautiful that you all gave that to me. Now listen, go back to the book. We're talking about the book that the one that's on the throne is holding, written within and without. I want to go to Ezekiel 2 and 8, and let's see if the Bible ever talk about another book like that that's given from God to someone. Please read.
But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations, and mourning, and woe.
I want you to understand that what was in this book that was written within and without was judgment, sadness, wailing, promises of judgment to a group of people. It was filled within and without. And this is being given to the one that has a claim against the covenant people of God of their wrongdoing. I want you to go back to Ezekiel 2, and I want you to keep in mind what's in the roll, because I want to emphasize, where did he get the roll? Ezekiel 2 and 1. Listen to what the sweet word of God say.
And he said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me.
Hold that. Do you understand? I'm sending you to some people that need this mourning, this lamentation. And well, they don't honor me as if I'm the one that sit on the throne. Now listen to me read from the first chapter, and I want you to taste what we hear in verse 26. Yes, taste it. We use all our senses whenever we live, so we'll try to incorporate our senses in the way we think. Listen to verse 26. And above the firmament, he saw this, there was over the head a likeness like of a throne. This is where the cherubim have their wings up. We went through the book of Ezekiel. There's a firmament like a throne, and the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as of the appearance of a man above it. And I saw the color of amber, and the appearance of fire round about it, and the appearance of his loins even upward, and the appearance of his loin even downward. That was the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about it. Listen to this. And the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud and the rain, so the appearance was the brightness round about it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh, the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face and heard the voice of one that spake. And that's where Dree read, son of man, stand up. I will submit to you that this is coming from God. Somebody say, is it God the Father or God the Son? We're not talking about that right now. We can talk about it if you want to. No one has seen God at any time. You've seen the only begotten Son of God. You saw the only begotten Son of God. Therefore, even when you look in here, when you see someone that represents a form or a shape, it would not be God the Father. But the point that we're going to make in the book of the fifth chapter of Revelation is that Jesus is going to reveal himself as the one that is Lord of all without diminishing any of the glory, the honor, and the majesty that's due to his Father. So whenever we see it in the book of Ezekiel, this scroll being given, it's being given by the living word of God before he became incarnate. It's not the Father coming down giving it to Ezekiel. But the point that we're looking at is, what's the big deal about a scroll written with within and without? And so when Dree was reading, I'm sending you to read verse 3, because I need you to see who it's coming to. Please read it again, Dree.
And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel.
I'm sending you to the covenant people. The people whose ancestors have said, no matter what you say, Lord, will we do it? We'll be obedient. Mm. Just say it to us, and we'll you don't even have to tell us what all it, just say it, and we'll do it. And now, there's a covenant case coming against them. Read some more, Dree.
I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day.
They are.
For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God.
I want you to understand something here. You know how I will quote periodically Romans 2 and 5? Where it says, after the hardness of your impenitent heart, you treasure up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God that will judge every man according to his deeds. What do you think that a stiff heart is? That's a heart that will not give penance. That's a hard heart. And these people have treasured up wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation and the scroll of the righteous judgment of God, who's going to judge these people according to their works. Do you see how your Bible tied together? Paul wasn't just coming out, I'm going to say something that's going to be eloquent. John wasn't just writing something, well, this, I'm going to just say this, there's going to be a scroll in heaven, and then some people say, this is the title deed to the earth. Have you heard that before? This is the title deed to the earth. I would hate God to open up, you hear people talking about opening up a can of stuff on people. I ain't going to say it. I would hate for God to open up a can or open up a roll with seven seals on it against me. So he said they're stiff-hearted. They are ready for judgment. How do you understand before you read the rest of they're ready for judgment? They've been doing it every day. That's what God said. This is over 1,000 years later. And they still been guilty of being rebellious. And at a certain time, God doesn't play. Go ahead and read some more, Dre.
And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them.
Remember when I said earlier, God being on the throne, Jesus revealing himself for God, I hope it make you tremble if you're wicked. It doesn't really matter whether you like the fact that he's over all. It doesn't really matter if you like the throne room of God, he got the scroll. It doesn't really matter, because whether you hear and submit and repent like he told all the churches and overcome, it really doesn't matter. His will be done whether they hear or whether they forbear, because the judgment time is now. That's what this passage is saying. And I will submit to you, those that have read ahead, when the scroll is open, what's going to come out of that scroll is what? Help me, somebody. Judgment. Lamentations and woe. It's not just coming if they believe it. It's not just coming if they don't believe it. It's coming because the one on the throne says so. Are we enjoying this? I like the eyes of him to whom I have to do with, especially when I'm doing right. Mm. Read some more, Dree.
And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks.
Do you understand that when John wrote this letter, when John, well, you know, he wrote the letter for them and it was given to him. Mm-hmm. Do you understand how these people must have felt? John is telling these churches, well, you're good at all of this, but you're naked, miserable, and poor. You think they've taken it many times as the word of Jesus? Oh, well, you think you're so-and-so, but you got that Jezebel right in there. You've left your first love. You lukewarm. Do you think that this was a soft message? We'll come to Patmos and find you. Tell a religious person. Tell a person that's got God's word and don't go by God's word that they are wrong and see the vitriol that they will show you. Again, without having three weeks, we're going to go back to chapter 5. He was given a book. It was written within and without. It had mournings, lamentations, and woe. And the parallel that I want you to see when you read it, read in Revelation, is that John didn't get it by himself. Jesus was going to be the one to get this one. Ezekiel did not get this one by himself. It was given to him of the Lord. Learn to know your Bible or to think about what has gone on before when you read the book of the Revelation. And it keeps you from thinking, oh, these are going to be aliens. And aliens, they go, don't do that. Just always think about this. What has the Bible already said? And understand God is consistent. Read 5:1 again, Dree. Now we're going to go back to where we were.
And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon.
Now, when you understand what was going on with the book of Ezekiel, it doesn't necessarily mean if you haven't read it before or read past chapter 5, they're going to be the same. But I'm telling you, when you read the Bible, you need to learn to read through it first. And then see what it has said. Overview. Then start going back through it again to understand what's going on in each book. Somebody says it's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time for you to learn how to cut your hair if you cut it yourself. It takes a long time for a girl to learn how to roll her hair and for it to stay rolled up. It takes a long time to get out of school. It takes a long time, even if it shouldn't take that long, they're going to see to it so they can get the government money that they get from federal dollars for you to go to school. I told my mama and my daddy the other day, I think it was my mama, I said, you know, I'm 55 now, and that was in my 30s. There were some things that I would have liked to do. I said, but it's going to be a long time, but, you know, to go to school and learn that too. Well, I've lived it anyway and didn't learn it. You didn't catch that? Let's say if you would have wanted to go and learn certain things in either psychology or physics, but you say it's going to take a long time, and you decide you were going to do that, you wanted to do that when you were 20. Now you're in your 40s. You lived, it's still been a long time, and you didn't learn it. And you say it's going to be a long time to understand these books in the Bible. How many people have already crossed 30, 40, 50, you know, they crashed it too. 30, 40, 50, 60, and still don't understand one book in the Bible. You say it was going to take a long time. It still took a long time. And now you've shown it's taken you a long time to show how much you don't care about God's word and understanding it. And you feel good about yourself in front of me. Mm-hmm. But what about the one that's on the throne? He knows that you have avoided his word. And so it says the book It says, in the right hand on the throne, this is the origination of where we have the book, it was sealed. He saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice. What did it say, Dree?
Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?
Now I want you to see where our title comes from. Our title is actually coming from understanding what's going on after this verse. Read verse 3, Dree.
And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon.
I want you to notice that you have man in italics. It's not in the Greek. There are some times when you have something in italics that's there and it's understood. There are some times when you have something in understood to help you understand. But there are some times that word is added in italics and it doesn't need to be there. I would submit, based upon what I've learned in the scripture, it doesn't need to be there in this particular case. Somebody say, Tim, you're just making a mountain out of a molehill. You're straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. You know, like our political race do. You know, like how the news do. But I want you to see that this is real, what I'm saying. Read the next verse, Dree. I'm going to explain that when we get to the point where I want to open it up.
And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
We're going to hold that. We're going to come back and read it again. But I'm trying to explain how Jesus is revealing himself as Lord of all. So in order for us to understand that, we need to let Paul help us. Paul's going to zero in on what's happening there in Philippians chapter 2, probably around 8, but we'll start at verse 5. Dree, if you go ahead and go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, we're going to open this up. Somebody said we're not going to get far in Revelation 5. Are we in a race? No, I trow not. What does it say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Dree? Help us to see.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Why did I want you to see, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Those that are reading from an authorized version, the King James Version, you will see where it says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed. That word behind that English prevail is nakio. And that word means overcame. Probably in the version Rich reading, does it say overcome? Conquer and overcome. Remember, he kept telling them to overcome, to overcome, to overcome. He's letting you know that he's overcome. That's all right. You weren't expecting me to call on you. So now here's the deal. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. Philippians 2 and 5 is going to show you in a brief, that they call it a psalm or that they call it a hymn that they would say. He's going to show you his overcoming, and we're going to place that right in here in this passage so that we can understand what's going on. And it's pretty. Read it, Dree.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Now, if you don't hold this in your mind, when I start explaining the Root of David and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, you might miss it when I go back and start quoting in there. So I'm going to give you some pointers now. There is a mindset that he had. And you're going to need that mindset. And you're going to understand from that mindset what his very form and nature is God. And then you're going to understand he's going to take the form of a human, of a servant. And you're going to understand that he is going to be slain, when it says, obedient unto death. And when we start talking about a lion and a lamb has been slain, I want you to understand that your Bible is consistent. being found in fashion as a man, is going to show how he overcame. It's going to show his obedience, which he's told the church. And it told him how long it was, even the death of the cross. But it's going to say that God did something. Read that part where God has highly exalted him.
Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth.
Your word things are in italics. You don't find cars bowing down. You don't find rocks bowing down. If God told them to, they would. But you don't read in the Bible stuff like that unless you read in the poetry, where the trees clap their hands, and where the earth and all these things. What we have here is God showing, even in Philippians, that he's Lord of all. And I'm going to show you, based on what is being said in Philippians, that word man is not necessary when we read in the Revelation. There is no man under heaven, earth, or under the earth that was able to open the book. I'm going to submit to you, there is no living creature. There is no living being in heaven, in earth, or under the earth that was qualified, bona fide, justified, or sanctified enough to open that book. So therefore, I'm trying to show you here in Philippians that I'm making sense, that when I say that Jesus is revealing himself as Lord over all, you got that. You got the heaven, the earth, and under the earth. Paul is saying that they bow to him. How dare to go on the job and start signing contracts for people and paying people and taking stuff and appropriating, and that's not my job. DreamWorks in HR. Suppose I came and worked at your company and I said, well, I hired these people today and we're going to pay them $15 an hour and we're going to so and so and so. And I gave these people over here the day off. And as a matter of fact, I just feel like we should take the week off with pay. Do you think you'll have the authority to get me out of there? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what will happen is when a person try to appropriate that kind of authority, we know something's wrong with that person.
Right.
What are they capable of? Is he on some kind of drug?
Yeah.
Has he gone crazy? All of these beings that we're reading about in Revelation 5, they knew that was not their place of authority. And John looked. I can't. And nobody is able to walk up to that throne and take that out of his hand and let him see what the outcome is going to be for those that persecute the churches, for those that have mistreated the churches, for what's going to happen to those that don't overcome, for what's going to happen to those that don't repent, what's going to happen to those that have brought in a false doctrine, going to bring God's judgment on the people, what's going to happen to those that have slain the apostles of the Lord, that those that did what they did to Antipas, the faithful martyr, and the trials that they're going through. And John wept. When you love God like you should, there comes a time when you get like David. Lord, break their teeth. There comes a time when you learn to hate the enemies of God in the 100, and I believe it's the 39th division of the Psalm around verse 23. There comes a time when you realize God bring your judgment on the earth. They made fun of you. They tried to relegate you to a place of nothingness in your kingdom. They worship the tree. They worship the penis. They worship a vagina. They call it Baalism and Bali. They have the Astaroth and all of these things. They worship man, animal, beast, four-footed things, and all kind of creatures, even body parts, more than you, Lord. And I'm tired of seeing it. Bible says in that same book of Ezekiel, I believe it is the 9th chapter, when God was getting ready to execute that judgment, lamentation, and woe that we read about on the scroll in the 2nd chapter, starting at the 8th verse of Ezekiel in the 9th chapter, when God was getting ready to execute his judgment, he sent a man with a linen cloth with an ink horn to mark those people that mourned and sighed because of the wickedness that was going on. And those are the only ones that escaped the judgment. You received the mark of God, and God spared you. You better learn that the Bible is consistent. And just because God is slow, what we think is slow about judging and dealing, better get our mind right and understand that he judges even after death. Better hear David. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death, those Elohim, I walk through it. I don't fear evil. And David said, he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord. How are you going to dwell in the house of the Lord and you dead in your sepulchres in Israel? Because I'm just separated from my body. So now, God is highly exalted. I'm back in Philippians. And given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven. Read it without the things so that people can grasp it, because things is not in the Greek. If you're not there yet, I'll go back to it, and then you can pick it up from me. It says, every knee shall bow of in heaven and in earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It doesn't diminish from the Father. It doesn't take away from the Father. It adds glory to the Father because I've appointed him to be your mediator. What does 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says? There's one mediator between God and who? Man. And that is the man who? Oh, bless his everlasting name to sit between the cherubim. Let's go back to Revelation where we were with our understanding now. Again, verse 2 and 3. Let's taste it again.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven.
Let's skip the man and let's taste it like it was this our proven the point in Philippians.
And no one in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book.
Nobody has been exalted to that place. Somebody say, man should fit. I understand that there was no man because after Adam sinned, everybody was under the curse. But understand, it's not just man that's unable to open it. There was not an angel that could open it. There was not a demon that could open it. Not a seraphim or a cherubim, nor a watcher. There was no one that could open it, let alone a man. Man is lower than the angels, and the rest of them couldn't open it. And so when you see that, judgment may not look like it's going to take place. It may not look like vindication is going to come to the children of God. And John said, I wept. I wept. You would think as an apostle, you wouldn't want to tell that I wept because I didn't understand what was going on. You know, and I was crying. I didn't see things like it was supposed to be. John said, I wept. Read some more, Dree.
And I wept much because none was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon.
Now does that fit the Bible? Does that fit the continuity of the Bible? So if we skip through that really quick, we would miss out something. There's nobody worthy to let you know the revelation of what's really coming on but God. And God has appointed his son to be the revelation of what it is for us to know. We saw it in the book of Hebrews. Read the next part, Dre, please.
And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
You know, that's probably where we're going to have to make our stop on that verse, because that verse is rich. If we want to do Bible study, if we want to understand the Bible and understand what's going on, then we need to understand these terms. These terms mean something. not just in there for you to say, I love Lion of the Tribe of Judah, 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 roll. What? What? No. One of the elders says, out of all the sorrow and start you feeling in your heart, weep not. I would submit to you that that's the equivalent of fear not. Somebody say, where you get that from? It's not the Greek word behind the English. It's not an Aramaic word. But why is he weeping? He's weeping because nobody is worthy. And it's like, it's not going to get to be open. So I'm weeping. Stop weeping. Don't be afraid. Because the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome to open the book and loose the seals thereof. Again, what we need to begin now to understand is, what's the significance of these terms? Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The history of Judah, or Yehuda, would be if you knew your Bible. If you don't know your Bible, this is just a term for you. Where did Judah come from? Came from a woman named Leah, the fourthborn of this woman, who had a sister who was married to the same man. The man's name was Jacob. Somebody said, I thought his name was Israel. Not in the beginning. When Yehuda was born, his daddy still was named Jacob. Am I right? Yeah, of course I am. And Yehuda was not an Israelite when he was born. You know, because sometimes people say Abraham was an Israelite. It's like, chronologically, you can't pull that. You might say he was a prince with God, but I'm saying when we start talking about what God has done, what's the significance of this Yehuda or this Judah? Well, we need to go back in the Bible and understand what's going on here. So if we will, I'm going to quote Genesis 3 and 15. And I'll probably go, as a matter of fact, Dree, help me out. You go to Galatians 4 and 4. Genesis 3 and 15, when Adam and Eve sinned, God asked Adam, where was he? And he blamed it on God for giving him the woman. And probably in a subtopic, he blamed the woman. But really, the way he said it, is as if it's the woman's fault, but you really blame God, because he said, the woman
that you gave.
So you wouldn't have gave me her. I was good. He is a liar and the truth wasn't in him. But God had promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, because we have been reading the Bible for a long time, we know that the seed of the woman would have to be a woman that has a child without the man being the father of that child. And we know that this is going to be Jesus the Christ that God has made every knee bow to. But how does this fit with the line of the tribe of Judah? I'm going to bring you to that so that make good sense. 4 and 4, Galatians, 4 and 4 and 5, please.
But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
God, when the fullness of the time came, Dree, go to Genesis chapter 22 and 15. When the fullness of the time frame that God had set for the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent came to pass, he sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he could redeem us and give us the adoption of sons. But we still haven't got to Judah yet. We've actually started from where it started, where God talked about it, and we've gone to what is considered the fulfillment of that. But in the middle, what took place? That's where Dree is going to now. God talking to Abraham, whom God decided, I'm going to make a nation for the other nations to be blessed by Abraham. And from Abraham, we get Isaac. From Isaac, we get Jacob. Jacob's name changed to Israel, and we get Yehuda or Judah from there. Then we'll be in line with what's going on here. But there's a reason that I'm having these scriptures read, not just to give you the history, but I need you to understand why the line of the tribe of Judah is a big deal. Read 22, Dree, because this is the real thrust of it right here.
22:15-18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time.
Abraham was getting ready to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to be obedient to God, which would show that there's nothing that I love more than you, God. There is nothing that I adore more than you, God. Whatever you say, God, I'll do it. And if you want to think about it in terms of what that means, Abraham was an overcomer. He was an overcomer of the place where he moved from Ur of the Chaldees. He was an overcomer of the famine that he went in. He was an overcoming of him and his wife being barren. He was overcoming of seeing him that's invisible. Abraham in actuality was an overcomer even of death, because he believed that he would receive his child from the dead. He also overcame death in the sense that he and his wife were able to come together, him being good as dead, Romans 4 says, and his wife, her being barren. Abraham was an overcomer. Feel it now. Because if you don't like the scriptures, I can show you right quick. Abraham was the father of the faithful, but I'm not going to go there. What does it say? Finish reading that in that 22nd chapter, because this is delicious.
And said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee.
Abraham, because you have overcame. Do you see the same thrust that you see in the Revelation? Do you see all the stuff that Abraham went through was for him to overcome? Do you see it? Abraham is going to show you he prevailed. And so if he prevailed, guess what? If his son has the same mindset and the same faith, he's going to prevail. Read some more.
That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies.
Stop right there. Do you just realize what she just read? In blessing, God has sworn. That's irrefutable that it's going to take place. I have sworn I will bless you, multiplying. I will multiply. When Dree read that in the fullness of time, God, in the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the law, that we should receive the adoption of children. That's his seed. Believe me, that's his seed, those that are by faith. Because when we go to Galatians 3:16, you'll see it. And it says, I'm going to multiply them as the stars of the heaven and the sand which is above the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That's the thrust there. Whoever the seed is, he is going to be in charge of all of the nations, all of their laws, all of their access. He possesses the gates of his enemies, the gates of where judgment was done. And Jesus, according to Galatians 3:13, read 3:16, Galatians. I want you to see, when he talk about the land of the travel, this is nothing. This is not new, but it means something. And listen to this while Dre is getting that. Verse 18 says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you, thou obeyed my voice. John saw no man worthy in heaven or in earth that was able to open the book, but the lion of the tribe of Judah came forth. I will submit to you that the seed of Abraham, the one that can possess the gate of his enemies, I will submit to you that the seed that came forth of Abraham, he is the one that's prevailing to do all of these things. Just like Abraham overcame, he overcame. If you remember John chapter 8, when they want to say, boy, you ain't even 50 years old, have you seen Abraham? Before Abraham was, that's right, it's a big fat yes. Before Abraham was, I am. But he told them in around the 30, go to verse 30 to 35 in your mind. He said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do what Abraham did. He saw my day and was glad. He saw the day that I would be the very one that would possess the gates of the enemies. He saw me, and he also saw me possessing the gates. Well, we better learn the word of God so we don't get on some kind of bubblegum thing. Ooh, the end of the world gonna be because they had Hurricane Matthew. Read, Tree.
Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made.
Galatians 3 and 16. Remember, look, if you can remember John 3 and 16. Can anybody remember John 3, 16? Somebody start quoting it. You all quote it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
That's right. Now, Galatians 3 and 16 is going to tell you about that same son. So 3:16 should stick for you. Read it, Dree.
Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
And do you see it? When he said, thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. That was a promise. Somebody say, Tim, that's not the promise. I'm going to say, what do you think he just said? He said, I swear. Why we can't read? He said, by myself I have sworn. What? Is that not a promise? Glory to God in his everlasting name. Read the next verse, Dree, because I love this sweet juice.
And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect.
Look, the law came afterwards. The law that was given came after God had made this promise to Abraham and his seed. The seed would be those that have the same mindset if we were to read Galatians 4, but we're not going to read all of Galatians 4. But if you look at it and you see that we're getting past Judah the man and we're coming to the descendant of Judah, and that same one that Paul says the seed is Christ, then we've already settled the case. All I'm doing is giving you enough information is that when you look at this, that you should see this. And so when people say the book of Revelation about the end of the world, no. This is revealing him as Lord of all. All of the nations right now under him. No one else is worthy to open the book. All of the ones are bowing down. And one of them said, don't weep. I couldn't open it, but I know he's going to open it. Oh, feel the love of God in that. Read the next verse, verse 18.
For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise.
And God gave it to Abraham by promise. And guess who is the seed that would get the promises? Christ. And how do we get it? Galatians 4 and 4 says, he redeemed us and gave us the adoption to become sons. The line of the tribe of Judah means something. It's not just a title that is given. Now, how does he go about to possess the gate of his enemies? Go to 1 John 3 and 8. Somebody said, we might not finish this today. So, the world can't contain the books that should be written about this lion of the tribe of Judah. Read it, Dree. 1 John 3 and 8. What does the Bible say?
He that commits sin is of the devil.
He that commits sin is of the devil.
For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Not only is he possessing the gate of his human enemies, he's possessing the gate of Satan. The gates of hell will never prevail or even be able to buck against his kingdom. You better learn the word of God. The lion of the tribe of Judah is roaring. He possessed the gates even of Satan's kingdom. Somebody say, Tim, you're making it up as you go. Dree, go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. I will tell you in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus cast out a demon, and they say, he did it by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. Jesus said, if I do it like that, then how do your children do it? They didn't ask him after that. But Jesus said, I tell you what, watch me wet my little finger. Now, if I by the finger of God cast out Satan, or I cast out this demon by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. No man goes into a strong man's house and plunders his good unless he first binds the strong man. Am I right?
What did God promise Abraham? He will possess the gates of his enemies. I come in and I plunder him. I'm the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I do it by the Spirit of God. Do you all love the lion of the tribe? This is not just a term, you know, the lion of the tribe. Oh, I can say the lion of the tribe of Judah. That means I know something. I'm deep. Because sometimes somebody say that to me and say, what does that mean? And then their mouth go blank. We shouldn't go blank here. So do you see? I shown you that he possessed the gates of his enemies and all the families of the earth. So we're talking about humans. A blessed. Mm-hmm. Now I'm showing you that his work was to destroy the works of the devil. Mm-hmm. Now I'm showing you that he said, if I by the Spirit of God or the finger of God cast out Satan, the kingdom of God has come unto you. Mm-hmm. I've cast him out of the position of his authority and rule over mankind. Whether you see it or not, doesn't matter. I'm saying, if that's how I did it, and you're going to tell me either he did it by Beelzebub, those were the two choices. He did it by Beelzebub or the Spirit of God. He said, if I did it by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God has come unto you. Then he said, in case you don't understand, no man comes into a strong man's house and plunder the goods, lest he first binds. He didn't say kill him, bind the strong man, limits the strong man, so that there's nothing he can do to stop me. He's saying, I possessed even that which was his. And we see it manifested on the day of Pentecost. Instead of it being what is called a G-O-R, earthly political rule of just the Hebrew people, the Hebrew Jews, now it's open to all the earth. We've talked about that before. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Acts chapter 10, 10:35. All the unclean animals now being explained, where he says, I know of a certainty that God is not a respecter of person, but in every nation those that fear God and worship him are accepted. The same Peter has already said in Acts 4:11, there's no other name whereby men may be saved. There is no other name that you can be delivered from Satan except from the lion of the tribe of Judah that is already plundered. He cannot stop you from being saved if you believed on him. This is sweet stuff. Why, how else can somebody else open the book? There's no angel that redeemed you unless you're going to call Jesus the messenger of the Lord and you're going to use the technical term angelos. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14? Read the sweet word of God.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, mm-hmm. he also himself likewise took part of the same.
Lion of the tribe of Judah. He took on humanity. He was a descendant of Abraham. And by being a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the one that he comes through is Judah, a Yehuda. And this passage is saying, just like Philippians, he took upon him the likeness of sinful flesh. His flesh wasn't sinful. He had a different daddy, but we hadn't gotten to that yet. Read some more sweet word of God.
He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil.
Who else destroyed Satan? Do you understand why no one else could open the book? Can you understand that no demon or other celestial being could open the book? I've conquered him. I've conquered that. I'm the one that's Lord over all. It ain't Satan. I plundered him a long time ago. Stop weeping, John, because we know who he is. Wipe that tear off your face. Let joy come into your heart. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, and he loves you. Read some more of the sweet word of God. It's so pretty.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
And he plundered death. Plundered it. Freedom took the sting away. Somebody said we didn't get far today. Yes, we did get far today. He's the one that was and is to come. We ought to enjoy that was, what he was, because what he was is what he is, and what he is what he is to come. Read some more of the sweet word of God. We're not through with this little piece right here.
For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels.
He did not take on the nature of angels, but he rules them. Somebody say, Tim, where you get that from? Because I know the first chapter and the sixth verse where God calls the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is thy kingdom. And if you go down to the eighth verse, he didn't call any of the angels his son. He didn't call them God. I'll read it in case I miss some of it, because sometimes I quote paraphrastically. Y'all like that word paraphrastically? That just mean I read. And I see how people frame. It don't mean I'm that brilliant. And again, when he bring the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels who say he make them spirit, his ministers of flame of fire, but unto the Son, verse 8, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Understand this. This is the one. He didn't take on their nature. I did it as man. Mm-hmm. Read some more of the sweet word of God where you were, Dre, in verse, I think, 16.
For verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham.
Notice, to who were the promises made? Abraham. I swear by myself. Your seed will possess the kingdom, but the seed is singular. We talk, Jay, when we talk about the line of the tribe of Judah, he's the one. He's the one. Read some more, Dre. This thing's so pretty. I like it. You don't have to like it, but I love it. Read some more, Dre.
Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
Do you see what it's saying? I'm going to have to go back to 2 and 1 because I read the thrust. But I want you to understand what he said. He took on the nature, he took on humanity of the seed of Abraham so that he could be your mediator, a faithful high priest. A high priest was a mediator. So your mediator is the one when John's weeping because the wicked have gotten away with stuff. If you don't believe it, if you just jump ahead and cheat, Revelation 6 and 9, they want to know, Lord, when you going to do something about those people that killed us? When? We are looking forward with anticipatory joy for you to deal with the enemies that have killed us, that took us away from the earth. Not long. And that was in one of the seals. Am I right, Rich? Oh, Rich said number 5. It's one of the seals. No man is able to open up that can on those people. No one is able to open up God's lamentation, mournings, and woe like he is. Why? He's in charge. He's revealing himself in that position. But here's the thing. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which has prevailed or overcame. How did he do it? He was made as a human. He suffered being tempted, and he's able to secure or save those that are tempted. And we will probably end on what we end in Hebrews, because I'm not trying to finish it all. I'm trying to get us to understand that he's revealed himself as Lord over all. And somebody say, he's not saying that himself. Who revealed the book to John? Well, then leave me alone. Read the second chapter, the first verse, please, Dree.
Of Hebrews?
Yes, ma'am.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?
The Lion of the tribe of Judah, when he walked the earth, he talked about the judgment that would come on the wicked and the ungodly and those that did not believe and those that had turned their back on God. He had even said that it would be more tolerable for some than it was for Sodom and Gomorrah, than it was for Tyre and Sidon. And he had said when he come back with his holy angels, how he would execute judgment on the wicked. Didn't he say it? And that was confirmed by those that heard him. And he is the one that prevailed, and he is the one that's going to open up the seals. Don't play with him. He's the truth. What does it say in verse 4? Read, please.
God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will.
Do you understand that the reason that they got this was because of Christ? It wasn't because of themselves. When you read your Bible and you understand what it says, God bore them witness to what? What was first spoken of by the Lord. He didn't just give that to them because they lived and they breathed, or they lived and breathed and had their being. He gave that to them as a witness to what Jesus had said when he was on earth. So who is the one that should be honored? Him. He gave them that to validate what he said. I just want you to get your mind right, because whenever we talk about the Lion of the Tribe of Judah opening the seals, he's revealing stuff that he said he was going to do. And God is validated by those that trumpeted what he said. Read the next verse, please.
For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come?
He didn't do it to anything in heaven.
Whereof we speak.
Or none of the things under the earth, which we didn't talk about today because we're not going to have time like I want to. But he didn't put it in, and he didn't put the world in charge of any of the celestial beings. He didn't do it. He could have. He could have done it, but they weren't worthy. They didn't take on humanity. They didn't suffer, and they were not a part of God. Read some more, Dre. It's so pretty.
But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet.
I want you to understand, since Jesus was made the seed of Abraham, is there anything that's not under his feet right now? Is there anything that is not under his feet? She said, the Father. Mm-hmm. So if she's going to call the Father a thing today, she'll be right. Is there anything that are the works of his hands that are not under his feet? Now then. See, Elijah, you see how I qualified that? She made me qualify it. Qualified is where you let the loopholes leave, okay? Is there anything that's made? But notice what it says. Notice what it says in the rest of that verse. Read it again, Dre.
Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not to put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him.
And people look and they say, we don't see everything under him. We don't see, because you go from the general to the specific, or we go from the general to the particular, however you want to say it. So we don't see everything under man like it should be. We don't see it. It doesn't look that way. But the writer says in verse 9, what does he say in verse 9?
But we see Jesus.
We see Jesus. He has taken on humanity. What man has not done, we see Jesus.
Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man.
Yes.
For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
I will submit to you that the Lion of the Tribe of Judah is standing in the place of man, and in standing in the place of man, everything is already under his feet. Other than that, how else can he be the only one worthy to open the book? Abraham couldn't open it. Daniel couldn't open it. Enoch couldn't open it. Job couldn't. Can I just keep naming the people? They couldn't open it. And Samson was in the spirit of God, could come on Samson, he couldn't open it. But we see Jesus.
If you don't feel good about that, it's because you're not wrapping your mind around what's going on in this. Read the next verse, Dree.
For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto thy brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise.
I am going to, even with all of this power that I have, although I'm the seed of Abraham, I'm going to sing your praise on the throne to my brethren. It's about him. I'm going to glorify him. I'm not going to do and get out of my place like some kings would do. Hezekiah get out of his place. Josiah get out of his place. Josiah, Necho said, leave me. I'm doing some work for the Lord. Josiah, instead of leaving Necho alone, went and disguised himself and went and tried to fight against Pharaoh Necho and got killed. But Jesus always did the things that pleased him. And now he says, I'll declare your name before my brethren. And in the book of the Revelation, you do what I say. He'll declare your name before the Father. I want to stop on this and just give you one last, you know, little couple of verses so that this will tie in, because I realized I wasn't going to be able to finish. Just go to Romans chapter 1 and let's, I want to finish there when we talk about the line of the tribe of Judah. There's a reason why the line of the tribe of Judah is so magnificent and so wonderful. It's not just the fact that he came from Abraham. It's not just the fact that he come from the tribe of Yehuda. It's got a little taste to it. Read, Dree. Read 1 all the way down, I'd say, to 4.
Romans
1 and 1 through 4. That's where we're going to stop.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
That's where we're going to stop here. Understand that it's the gospel of God. We call it the gospel of Jesus Christ, but in actuality, it's the gospel of God. But you don't diminish from it when you say the gospel of Jesus Christ. But sometimes people forget that the Father is the one that sent the Son. Paul says, it is the gospel of God. And he said he promised it before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Abraham was considered a prophet, but we know that. But it says concerning his Son, God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, God's son, was the seed of David, which was the seed of Yehuda. He was the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God with power. He was already the Son of God before he was raised from the dead. Because we're not going to read it today. We can do it Thursday. There's some more good stuff. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection of the dead. You've defeated all of the enemies. And you're worthy to open the book. We can develop that more, but I just need us to understand. When he said, weep not, there's nothing that is above or that he can't handle. The line of the tribe of Judah. Because, you know, Abraham might have came and couldn't open the book. Job might have came and he might have just been able to look at it. But you can't open it. This is the only one that God has allowed to have as much honor as he had. Because God said, I'll share my honor with no other. This is the only one that God has allowed to have the honor that he has. Mm-hmm. And that if you don't honor him, you don't honor me. We need to be in him. I'll just say that. We need to be in him, mm-hmm. so that when people dishonor us, they're dishonoring God's son. Mm-hmm. And when they're dishonoring God's son, they're dishonoring God. We need to be in him. I will submit to you that Jesus reveals himself in this fifth chapter as Lord over all. We hadn't finished it. We just taken a pause. Is that okay with you all? Man, I can go 2 more hours if you want it. Yeah, but that's you talking, Rich. There are other people that are ready to eat. Father, thank you for your blessing and your righteous word. I thank you for your goodness and your grace and how you always show your lordship that you gave to your son to be over all. How you've shown that he came here to be with us and that we have no excuse except for not knowing your word and believing it, that we should be able to honor him. Because not only has he fought for us and won, not only does he provide us with what we need to overcome, but he's been through the same things, and that there's no one that can withstand him in this planet, under the planet, and above the planet. Help us to honor him the way that you want us to honor him, so that we'll be honoring you in the process. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.
Amen.
I will open the discussion. I will open right now for discussion, if there's any discussion that we're going to have today on the class.